we talk about everything has energy. Words have amazing energy. And the most powerful thing that has energy are your thoughts. And you create your reality.
My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey everyone, as always, I'm Will, and if you are a regular listener, you know that each week we dive into a specific topic related to the metaphysical in an effort to find real answers about what's out there and what's not. Today, I'm shifting gears just a hair, since my very special guest is difficult to pin down into just one metaphysical bucket. She's a divine path life coach, an author, a meditation teacher, and an artist, but she also does past life regressions. She practices and teaches shaman and Reiki energy healing techniques and channeling, and is an international motivational speaker and a TV host. It's my absolute pleasure to introduce you to the esteemed Leora Leone. Leora, thank you so much for being on the show today. I hope I didn't massacre your name.
No, wow. And can I hire you to do all of my interviews? Because that was a great interview. I love that.
I'm thrilled that you're here. Any introduction that's any less is severely lacking, because the more research I did into you before our scheduled interview, the more impressed I was, honestly, with your experience and what you know of the spiritual world. So I know we've got a lot that we can discuss. So let's start it with the obvious. Very first question. Out of all of the things that I've mentioned in your introduction, what seems to call you the most? Or is there something that calls you more over one over the other?
Gosh, that's super difficult, because all of these modalities, they, I guess, have one main thread that ties them all together, and that's energy. We are energy. We live in a multiverse of energy, and it's backed up with science. Everything has energy. And so what I like the most is that that's something that we can control within ourselves. We can control our energy. We can control what we perceive. We can control what we bring in. We can control what we put out. And it's all a matter of energy and releasing energy.
So I've heard it described as, for example, if we're talking specifically about Reiki, a few weeks ago, we had someone on the show to talk about Reiki energy healing. Mm-hmm. And we discussed the fact that it's almost a matching of vibrational rates with the universal life energy that's out there. And like you said, science has proven that you can't destroy energy. It can only be transformed and all that. And that's arguably what happens after we pass, right? So what interests me about your experience is that, yes, it's all centered around energy, but in different ways. One would say past life regression is a very different thing than Reiki or shamanic energy healing. Is that not the case?
Well, and that's the thing that I found, and my dog is visiting me here. That's the thing that I found that was very cohesive, is I started out as a shaman. Then I went to become a Reiki master. I studied shamanism for over a year. I have over 1,000 clinical hours. Then wow. I went into becoming a Reiki master teacher. And then I started channeling. I became a certified channel. And then I was lucky enough to work with Dr. Brian Weiss. Oh, wow. Who is one of the best teachers out there.
Absolutely.
And all of it, what ties it together, is energy and pass in healing. When you're a shamanic healer, you are going in and you are not doing it, obviously. You're bringing down energy from the divine to do it, but you are restoring energy. You're raising some up on the chakras. You want to bring some up. You want to lower some. You always release energy at the bottom of the feet, everything that you've broken up, and you see things and you tell your clients this, this, and that. And the same with Reiki, it's kind of the same thing. And so with channeling, you're you're downloading energy from a high vibrational being. With past life regression, what's so cool about it, and I'm going to give you a little story. I went to see Brian Weiss about 4 years ago in Pasadena. And he did a group past life regression on 900 people. I was sitting right up front. And immediately, as soon as he started to talk, boom. And you know, if you meditate, you go under immediately, right? Mm. And so I started to have this experience. And I, all of a sudden, I saw myself as this blonde, statuesque Roman woman. And I was so happy and full of joy and love and all of this stuff. And then he's like, somebody's coming. And so sure enough, I see someone and it's a person that I know in this life. And he's a friend of our family. Well, he turns out to be this man I'm in love with. And so the next scene, we're in the middle of a small Roman town and we're getting married. And so we're just about to do a ceremony. I have flowers in my hair and all of the villages around us. And in ride the barbarians. And leading the barbarians is my current husband. And I always joke about it. That's kind of hard for me to believe that he was leading anybody. But no, so mean. But anyhow, he tells one of his henchmen to come over. And so we're standing there afraid. And the whole village is afraid because the barbarians have come in on their horses. And so he instructs us to kneel down and bend over. And he chops our head off. Both of us. Now, what is so friggin' amazing about this is that after that, I went to lunch with my friend. I have had neck pain my entire life.
Huh.
My neck pain disappeared. And then after that, I talked to my friend Kelly, and he's now passed, but he has had neck pain his entire life. And I was always going to do a past life regression on him to see if we could release his past life, you know, energy. But I have it. My whole life, neck pain, as soon as I had that, immediately dispensing of the energy, it was gone. I no longer carried that. So that's energy. So we're constantly, we deal from energy from the time we come into this incarnational existence to the time that we leave. So we start out somewhere like a caveman, end up somewhere like Gandhi, and somewhere in the middle, we wake up and we start releasing all of these past life's energies. So that's energy and past life regression.
Wow. Well, that's a great way of explaining it, actually. And I had never put those two things together. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we've not spoken about before on the show, and that's past life regressions.
Right.
And an interesting thing that you just said was about how your neck pain went away.
Right. After.
So it's one could say past life regression could is considered a type of therapy, I'm assuming now, because you went through that experience, you relived that past life, and then suddenly an ailment that you had carried for a long time was no longer there. Right. Is that what someone can expect from something like this?
For the most part, I've given past life regressions to hundreds of people. And some of the most difficult people to give a past life regression, obviously people that don't meditate, people that don't have a belief system that thinks that there are past lives. Like I teach in Europe and in Poland, especially, and a lot of those people, very Catholic. And I had to be real careful about what I said. But instead of going into past lives, they go into current lives and they see angels instead of high vibrational beings and things like that. But what happens is you go into this existence, and I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
That's okay. It was, can this be seen as a, can someone expect this to be somewhat like a therapy? Like if they go through a past life regression and something that ails them might be going away because of an experience that they experience.
Yeah, because absolutely, as a Reiki master and me as a shaman and Reiki master, that when you can do a healing on somebody. And for me, I see visuals, I hear everything. And so I may see a thing and say, yeah, in your past life, this was happening. And they're like, okay, that resonates, but they're not getting the same experience. With past life regression, you're going in and you're actually experiencing it. You're there. You're actually seeing yourself, you're being there, being present, and doing that. And it's just like dreams. Dreams release energy. They release past lives. So when you're dreaming and you have this dream that you murdered somebody or somebody murdered you, you are actually releasing a past life energy.
Wow. So
I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm sorry, I'm hogging all the time.
No, but, that's why you're here. We want to hear from you.
My son passed last year, my 25-year-old son, and it wasn't of COVID. He had autism and bipolar, so he was on meds just to keep him happy. And he was at home and lived a great life, but his liver gave out. So I had to do a DNR on him. And to do a DNR on your child is probably one of the most excruciating things that you could ever do. And so through the grieving process, it was extraordinarily difficult, as it would be for anybody. But I just couldn't get over feeling that I was responsible, that I had signed that DNR and I could have given him a blood transfusion to let him last for another week or another week and another week. And I talked to all the experts and they said, it's, you're going to put him through going to the hospital and it's just going to be, it's time. So I did the DNR and I'm having this difficult time. So one day I go into a meditation and he comes to me and I'm like, Brandon, where are you? And I could see him and now he was on this planet and it was all red. And I said, where are you? And he said, I'm on this planet that when you leave spirit, when you leave the physical, and you go into a holding station planet where you have gravitational pull on the physical, but on the spirit, it kind of, the energy of that pulls over onto the spirit. So you go to this planet and it alleviates the gravitational pull. So I'm like, okay, wow. And he goes, listen, Mom, the reason you're having a hard time is because in another life, you killed me as a young boy. And he shot this image of a little three-year-old boy with blonde hair. And I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? How did that happen? And he's like, not important. And so he said, put one hand up and then put one hand on your heart. And I could feel the pain in my heart chakra, like you wouldn't believe. And then he simply healed me and he took it away. And then I said goodbye and the meditation was over. I am telling you that that helped me stop grieving. It helped me to begin healing because that was energy from a life I didn't even know about. So how cool is that, right?
It's very cool. First, my condolences. I know it must have been a terrible experience for you. As a father myself, I can't even imagine what you've gone through. So my condolences. Thank you for sharing that story with us. It does speak volumes to what you're mentioning. The obvious question as the skeptic inside me is, could this just be something that, and it doesn't matter, it's something that our minds are fabricating to help ourselves process these things?
You know, it could, but what I want to point out to you, and I call this is a theory that I developed. We have ancestral heritage. You know, we have a bloodline, we have diseases that go from our genetics. So we have this ancestral genetics that we carry all of these things, how we look, our illnesses, our likes, some of our likes and dislikes. But there's a whole nother realm of preferences that we have that have not been explained. Like, I'm guarantee you that you have preferences that you like. For me, when I used to be really like insane about African art, and I found out that I was a Maasai, and then Japanese art, and I was a Japanese fisherman. So those things were never introduced to me when I was young or in any part of my existence. They were not brought into my area of understanding. So that's what I call incarnational ancestry. Things and people that you meet that you automatically love, or you automatically despise, right? Yeah. And you're like, I don't like that person, or I love that person. Like you immediately like, wow. The guy Kelly that I told you about, that was when I first met him, I was like, wow. And he was the same way. We were both like, both obviously married, but you still have that attraction. And why, how does that come? Where does that come from? So that's my only explanation that I can give you that I've figured out.
Okay. It fascinates me because in my search, one of the things I did was a group meditation that was, the goal was to have you go through a past life regression. And apparently I was an apprentice witch back during the Salem witch trials. And but I wasn't hung. I was actually my, I don't know, high priestess or whoever it is that I was studying under was actually being burned at the stake. And when I saw that, me and a bunch of other people, a bunch of other little girls, we threw ourselves on the fire because we couldn't bear to be without our high priestess. So we all just, yeah. And I don't know what to think of that, right? So it's just, I don't know if that had anything that cured me of any kind of aversion or anything like that. Not that I noticed, but I probably wasn't going into it with that thought process because I never thought of it as a therapeutic practice, right?
Well, look at where you are now and what you're doing. And it's all around metaphysics. And there you were. I find that people, what they're doing now, it comes out in several other lives. So you are just in a different genre, doing kind of the same thing, only different.
Right.
Have you had a past life regression? Somebody perform one on you?
Not a full Brian Weiss
type. I'm going to do that for you.
Oh, really? Well, I would appreciate
it. I will gift you that.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. I'm curious. So we've talked about past life regressions. We've talked about Reiki and shamanic energy healing. Talk to me about your channeling. How is that different or the same as the other things that we've just discussed?
Oh, well, channeling is so wonderful. And I, during my shaman training, I developed stage 3 breast cancer. And before the shaman training, I had always thought in my mind that I was going to die at a particular age. And I had been into my shaman training. And I when I started it, I had just bottomed out in my life. Everything was wrong, just everything. And so I just, it came to me and I started doing this. And so in my shaman training, my wonderful, wonderful teacher, and so to go to the cancer thing, I with all the knowledge that I had from my teacher, I just kind of said, hey, you know what? I'm going to fix this. I know what it is. It was self-love. And now I'm going to work on it because everything is a lesson, right? Everything is a lesson. So anyhow, my teacher, after the class and after we would do some clinical stuff, then he would do a healing on me to help me release energy. So he does his healings and and it was so interesting. He started doing this toning, like a high, you know what toning is, like a high pitched singing. And oh my gosh, it resonated with me. And there was so much about that healing that I could tell you forever. But anyhow, so after we got done and he had the same vision that I had, and then I'm like, what was that? He goes, I don't know. And so I have a lot of alien stuff around me, tons of alien. I've woken up being put back, and that's a whole nother show. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe the alien stuff. So anyhow, so he starts channeling, and I said, you should do this in front of everybody. So we were both part of the Learning Light Foundation in Anaheim, and that's where George Nori and who does the angel cards, what's her name? Now she's a Christian. She doesn't do angel cards. But anyhow, she started there. So we started there. So he started channeling. So he would do a meditation and then he would start doing the toning. So all of a sudden during the meditation during the toning, I started to see all these colors. Every color was a tone. Every tone was a color. And I saw this beach scene. And when he did one tone, it was green. And these people started coming out of the forest and then out of the water. And all these animals and beings that live on planet Earth that we don't even know about were on this beach. And it was so amazing. Then that stopped. And all of a sudden, this being came to me and it was tricolor, like copper, gold, and silver. And it was a beautiful man's face. And he comes to me and he says, I am Uruk. I am your brethren. And then he said, I am from Orion. And he showed me the word. And so I said, okay. And he said, I am your brethren. And I said, all right. So we get up and I'm telling everybody this amazing story. And the girl next to me, she's like, during the whole thing, you were going, and I'm like, really? I don't even remember that. And she goes, that's a sign of someone wanting to come through you and talk. So sure enough, I start channeling. She gives me a name of a person who's a great channeler. And she starts, and it turns out Uruk is my father. And he is from through Orion, which is Orion's belt. And this is all things that I have learned so far. You every through the multiverse, there are many, many Milky Orion's belts. That's how they shift from one universe to another. And so he's from a planet, Caesarius, which is my home planet. Earth was seeded by high vibrational beings. And there's science to back that up, because if you look at archaeology and all the things, we have giants, we have tiny people, we have half animal and half this. So the high vibration beings were trying to find a physical being that could sustain on Earth and do an incarnational journey. And that's humans was what they came up from, monkeys, humans. So anyhow, I started to channel Uruk. And I mean, I would have people come over and I'd do it over at the Learning Light. They'd all like come around and ask questions. And so then I started channeling aliens or high vibrational beings, I'll call them, because we're the aliens, we're hybrids. But so channeling, shamanism, past life regression, it's all energy coming in to help you see, to help you learn, to help you listen, and to understand who we are in the scheme of things. So channeling, he showed me that whole diagram of coming in as a caveman and ending up as Gandhi and waking up in the middle. That was shown to me through him. We start out in the divine. All of us, we're all divine beings out of the physical reality. We are all divine. We are all high knowing. We are all love. So we come down in groups and we may come down like as warriors to come down to change the planet. And there have been warriors coming in the 1800s. I mean, even before then, like during the witching times in the early 30s, there was a big thing about channeling. And then remember the Seth books? I don't know if you're familiar with Seth, during the six Jane Roberts, that was when channeling. So it was another, people come down in groups or beings come down in groups to help raise the vibration of the planet. So when you come down out of the divine, you come down in an army to help raise the vibration or just to experience being in an incarnational physical being. You come down to a stationary planet, which is a high vibrational planet, to kind of adjust to being in a body again. And then you come down into Earth and you start out your incarnational process. And then you end up like Gandhi, then you go back to another planet, then you go back up to the divine. And you do this rotation if you want, or you come down to create change. The thing, so when you raise your vibration, when you wake up and you start to release this energy and you start to raise your vibration and you start to connect to who you really are, there's a byproduct that is created. Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure that I do.
That is love. Every time you level up, love is created. So the Earth, like many incarnational planets throughout the multiverse, were created to create the byproduct of love, to balance the multiverse.
Well, that's really interesting, because everybody I've spoken to states that love is actually our true essence.
Yes.
It's who we are. It's where we come from. It's where we go back to. So you're saying that we actually create love?
Yes, because we go out of our true essence, the divine. And then it's like we're factory workers and we don't even know it. We're raising our vibration. We're awakening. And like the shift that we're going into now, you just see these kids, like my daughter is 27 and she uses a bamboo toothbrush and she won't use dental. And like, it's like, oh my God, everything is sustainable and all of that. But the world is shifting. And we are love. But as a divine being, we're still not producing. We're love. So when we come down, we produce, because there are, I guess, negative forces and things like that. And I could get into a whole thing about that, but we're there to produce love. So we're mining love is what we're doing. We're getting back to the essence of who we are, but we're going through, we agree to come in and go into a physical being, which is a low vibration energy, to evolve to a high vibrational energy, creating love as we go.
Whew, that's really heady stuff. Not at all where I thought we're going to end up, but whew.
You know, I got to tell you, Uruk has been talking to me in the past year a lot. And this last year, so about 5 years ago, he told us, a whole group of us, that by the year 2050, that the Earth would be 50% less in capacity of humans, that through natural disaster, through disease, that the Earth was getting rid of her parasites. And somebody said, well, who's the parasite? And they said, you are. You are the parasite. You're destroying the Earth. And so there is. And then they told me that by the year 2118, that the Earth will become a utopia planet. So 2118, we will go from being an incarnational planet, which is what we are, to those stationary planets that we come down and go back to. Those are utopia planets. That's where everything is beautiful. The president and the person that picks up your garbage make the same amount of money. There's no starvation. There's no lack of education. Everybody has everything. And the biggest competition is to see who's, instead of going to the gym, you go to a place where you become enlightened or you meditate. So that's the competition to see who could be a higher vibration. So that's kind of what we have to look forward to. We're doing a big transition. And last year was a major exodus, but there is also going to be a new rebirth. So all of those beings that have passed, and it's still happening, there's going to be a rebirth. And there's going to be a rebirth of young souls or old souls inside old bodies or bodies. You know what I mean? Like old souls in young bodies.
Sure. Sure. So you said quite a few mouthfuls. And for someone who is just starting to kind of dip their toe in this kind of stuff, I can imagine somebody's eyes glazing over a little bit about everything that you just mentioned. How can someone make that more approachable? Like how, when, if someone's wants to start looking into these types of things outside of the channeling and energy healing and things like that, how does one approach this? Because you said a lot. That was a lot.
Well, what I talk about is self-love and loving yourself. And we are not brought up to love ourselves. And there's a process. And I call it now the powers in you, because we all have powers. Meditation is a superpower. It connects, it's like plugging into everything that you need. Right. And so you want to be the best that you can be where you are exactly right now. You want to create a reality that you want exactly right now. And how you do that is you stay in the vibration of love. And that's basically what all this stuff is about. It's all about love. And how you do that is body, mind, and spirit. You stay at your optimum. And as far as body, you eat right, you exercise, sleep well. Mind, you feed yourself positive input. Spirit, you meditate. So you want to keep those three things at the optimum. And then you go one step further and you go thoughts, words, actions. And you keep those in the vibration of love. Keep your actions, your words. Words, we talk about everything has energy. Words have amazing energy. And the most powerful thing that has energy are your thoughts.
Right.
And you create your reality. And Seth said that back in the 60s with Jane Roberts. He said, that was one of the first books I read. You create your reality. What you think about today is your tomorrow. If you say, I'm tired, I don't feel good, I'm sick, it just continues. If you say, and gratitude. Gratitude is the one thing that will carry you anywhere you want to go. So thoughts, words, actions, body, mind, spirit, staying in gratitude. And you have to work at these things, because like your intuition, like being a shaman or being a Reiki master, you have to work on those muscles. You have to tune them up in order to connect and in order to do your craft. Sure. And that's what I've done. I've worked on it. I wanted to know everything. And I learned.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like you know a lot. How long have you been on this path?
When I was young, I saw visions. I used to read cards for people. I could tell when, I just knew. I had super intuition. And then when I was about 21 or maybe 20, I lived in Austin, Texas, and I had a boating accident. And I went under the water. And I was, you know what tubing is? Tubing where they put, they put a rope around an inner tube and you go on a high speed boat.
Absolutely.
Well, we get on one and then they said, whatever you do, don't, if she goes off, don't go off because you'll go through the middle and you can get really hurt. We're going 70, 80 miles an hour. And I'm like, okay. So I was on with this girl and she pushes off. And so I'm still on and we're going around. It was in Hippie Hollow in Austin. And so I'm still on. I'm like, okay, I'm getting bored. And so I decide to push off. Well, I didn't get off. I went right through the tube and immediately I felt excruciating pain. And then I was blanked out. Wow. And so I wake up and all of a sudden I see fishes going by and I see plants wafting in the, and I'm like, where am I? What is going on? And then I thought, man, I feel wonderful. And I look over and I see my body just like this. And I didn't flip out. I didn't care because I was in spirit. I didn't know it at the time. Right. Then all of a sudden, I start to get this download. Boom, boom, math, science, languages, all things that I didn't even know existed. Lettering and art and things that didn't even connect to this world at all. And it lasted about 30 seconds. And then it stopped. And I had been under there for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, I see this white light. And I hear this voice and they say, you have to either go here or go into your body. And your body can't sustain under the water anymore. And I said, well, what do I do? And they said, that's up to you. So I put my head back into my body and I went up. I had been under the water for 20 minutes.
Wow.
And I was in shock. They thought I was dead. They had called the people that come and try to rescue. They were searching for me. And nobody believes that story, but Lynn K. Russell is an expert on near-death experiences. And I interviewed her for my show. And she said that she had documented proof of people waking up in the morgue. And I said, so my 20 minutes was nothing. And she goes, oh no. She goes, people have woken up in the morgue. So I said, nobody believes me that I was under there for 20 minutes. But that changed my life. All of a sudden, I had a different trajectory. Mm. And I started to dabble a little bit here and there. And I started, because I went through a severe childhood, very just physical, mental, sexual abuse, and being raped when I was 18, and all of these bad things kind of. And what's interesting, a lot of healers, they go through this for whatever reason. A lot of light workers do that. And so they can get to the point where they are. And for me, there was something inside me that just kept going, like tenacity. I want to know. I want to go. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. And so that started everything. It changed the trajectory of my life. And then I started doing work on me and self-love because I didn't love myself. I couldn't even look in the mirror. I thought I was just this ugly thing because I had heard that. And so I had to change a lot. And then I got married and marriage wasn't good. And then this kid with severe autism. And I just bottomed out, but it came back. And that's when I made the change. And I started taking care of myself and loving myself. And that's what I wanted to do. And then I wanted to help other people love themselves. And that's kind of where I am now.
And that goes hand in hand with the book that you are, have you released it yet? Or is it in the process of it?
You know, I'm in the process of it. It's called The Powers in You. And it was Love Yourself, Change Your Life, but people didn't understand that. So I turned it to The Powers in You. And what I'm doing now is I'm actually, people's attention span is like 3 seconds. So I'm backing up everything with science, but now I decided I'm going to put a lot more pictures in. And it is a workbook so that people can work along from the first chapter and start getting into it. And it's a 28-day plan that if you follow what I say, body, mind, spirit, thoughts, words, actions, start meditating and doing the things, you will definitely start to change the trajectory of your life. Wow. So that I'm hoping will come out this summer. One that's coming out next month is I wrote a child's book and it's called Little Laura's Animal Adventure. And she says, I love being me. And so I'm just in the process of getting that published right now. So.
Wow. Well, they both sound really very cool. And if you will consent to staying in touch, whenever it's out, I'm happy to amend the show notes and put a direct link to those books out there for you so that the audience can get to them directly. There is so much that we can talk about. We've gone on about a little bit over 35 minutes or so now. So I know you have an appointment you have to get to. So it pains me to cut this interview short, but I hope that you'll come back at some point to continue your conversation, because we didn't even touch on the divine life path coaching.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna give you a past life regression, and then we'll come back on, and you'll be going, "Oh my gosh, talk about that!" And great. Yeah, and where are you located? Are you?
I'm in Virginia.
Oh, you're in Virginia. Okay, yep. I'm in Los Angeles.
Yep. It really quickly, there's one thing that you mentioned that kind of resonated with me, because I've heard it before, but I had forgotten it. There is a lot of talk. A lot of people speak about their life being completely changed after a near-death experience, which is what I assume is what you experienced when in that lake. So everybody that I'm talking to nowadays has experienced something close to or similar to what you're talking about. At least the folks that are really far advanced, the things that you talk about are very, very far advanced in the spiritual metaphysical plane that we're experimenting in or exploring. So I find it very interesting that that's the case. And I did read up on you, and I do know about your challenging past. And I am so sorry that you had to go through all that. But to your point, it seems that the folks that go through transformational pasts are the ones that are more ready and willing to be open to what these types of real realities tend to present themselves as. Right.
Right. I listened to when I go walking in the morning, I listen to Tony Robbins or somebody, and Tony Robbins was interviewing Dr. Wayne Dyer. Right.
Love
Dr.
Dyer.
And he said to him, he goes, "So I know you had a troubled past." And he's like, "Wait a minute. No, I didn't." And he's like, "Well, you lived in an orphanage and you lived in a bunch of," and he goes, "Hey, that was wonderful." And I'm not going to say my past was wonderful, but it taught me, I wouldn't change anything. Right. I wouldn't change. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. Everything is the way you are creating your life. We live in this tapestry, an unfinished tapestry, and we don't even know what it's like until we're gone. So all these things that come up and change you and mold you, they make you who you are. So I wouldn't change a thing. And everybody has trials and tribulations, but everybody has the ability to create the life that they want and to love themselves and be happy. And that's the message I want people to, you know, take away with this.
That's a great, great ending, great message to end with. In the words of Dr. Dyer, everything is absolutely exactly the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
So thank you so much for coming on the show and spending a little time with us and sharing of your expertise with us, because there's a lot of it and we barely just scratched the surface. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you directly, what would be the best way for them to do so?
They can go to my website, leoraleone.com, and there they can book whatever they want to book. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and all the other stuff. So,
okay, and I'll go ahead and I'll put links to your website into your social media accounts in the show notes as well. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in connecting with her, you can certainly reach her directly through a link in our show notes. Leora, thank you again so much. I look forward to continuing a conversation at some point in the future.
Thank you. And we're going to do that past life regression. We can do it through Zoom. So I'll send you a link.
I look forward to it very much.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you. And thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like more information about Leora, or if you'd like to connect with her directly, I'll leave the show notes. I'll leave some links in the show notes for you. As always, please don't forget to subscribe or follow the show so you don't miss an episode. Feel free to send us a voice message also on SpeakPipe. The link for that is also in the show notes. Your voice may just make an appearance on a future episode if you do so. Now, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate you throwing us a 5-star rating if you like the show. That is one way that we can get in front of more people. And if you'd like to be on the show, please join us on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician. The link to that, again, you guessed it, in the show notes. You can feel free to send us a message that way, and we'd love to be able to share your story with the folks listening on a weekly basis. That's all for now. Thanks again for listening in. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptical Metaphysician. Until then, take care.